Bell and Diddy.
On 95.7 The Game.
It is the kickoff show brought to you by Habas Law, and we are live in Santa Clara at the Hilton getting ready for what even Dan Dibley calls a must-win.
It's a must-win, Mark.
Oh, my goodness!
Yeah, it's almost a double must-win, but the Rams do have a little bit more of a cushion, so if the Niners lose this one, they're in kind of the warrior state, real trouble.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody in the NFC West could be in a big old bucket of who knows what, depending on how things go this weekend after tonight. But the Niners certainly need it. We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Twitch.tv/957TheGame. YouTube.com/957TheGame. You can watch the show there. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And as we get ready for this one and the return of Dre Greenlaw to the football field tonight, maybe that means one thing physically and something completely different emotionally. Would love to talk that out with someone who's been in an NFL locker room. I have an idea. How about Bucky Brooks? Let's go out to the River Islands guest line, our good friend from NFL Network and former man on the field in the defensive backfield. Bucky Brooks is with us live on Willard and Dibs. Hey, friend, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. What's going on, guys?
Bucky, what does this mean to the 49ers? What kind of an emotional boost is Dre Greenlaw back on the field?
It'd be a huge pick-me-up. He is someone who was their emotional leader. You saw that he played with an edge. You saw what kind of energy he brought to the defense. So bringing him back tonight certainly helps him. I think Fred Warner will be excited. I think the team will be excited. And you may see a little more inspired effort from that unit.
And when you look at a player coming off of 10 months and an Achilles tear, it's safe to say that he's not going to play a full rack of plays. Do you think the impact will be more of an emotional one as opposed to what the expectation should be for him physically out there on the field?
Well, I mean, well, they cleared him to play. Like, he's probably ready to go. I think they're trying to ease him into the thing. But once people get into the game, particularly an emotional player like Greenlaw, it may be hard to pull him off the field, particularly if he's having a good game where he gets in on the action. I think the coaches probably have a pitch count in mind, but sometimes that can go out the window once he gets to playing.
Bucky, you've played on defense in the league, and so I am very curious your take on the defense that Nick Sorensen has run this year. A lot of questions about him from fans, and we understand that coordinators are hard to assess for fans, but it looks very vanilla to us. What do you see?
Well, I mean, that's what they wanted. Last year when Steve Wilks was the coordinator, he was trying to kind of change and do some different things, and the players didn't like that. Shanahan didn't like that. They wanted more of what they had when they had Saleh and when they had D'Amico Ryans, which is more of a static, vanilla style, see ball, get ball, and just kind of let the players play. And so when you get that, you got to execute at a high level because you're not tricking anybody. You're not using a lot of disguise. It's about execution. And right now, the execution hadn't been to the level that you would like. But the simplicity of it all, that's exactly what Shanahan wanted because that's what they've had in the past when they had really good defense.
Okay, so is your assessment that this is a player issue, whatever's going on the defense, it's a player issue, not a coordinator issue?
Well, the personnel is different. When you play a simplistic style and you're saying, hey, we want to keep it simple, let the players play, but then your players have to dominate. And in the past, those previous iterations under D'Amico Ryans and Robert Saleh, they're more talented on the front line. Remember, they used to dominate people with 6, 7, 8 defensive linemen rolling in. They don't have the same pedigree, the same level of talent that they had up front. And when the front doesn't dominate to the level that they dominated in the past, the results are different. And so that's what you're seeing. They're not the same team from a personnel standpoint, which is why the defense doesn't dominate like they used to.
How hard is it then to make those changes in real time? If you're seeing that your front four is not getting home in the pass rush, is it too hard to suddenly become a blitz team? Do you need to have more blitz tendency players in order to change your scheme mid-year?
I mean, it's all like the philosophy, right? So when you play that style, like a lot of it is like we're just going to keep it simple. We're going to run to the ball. We're going to do things that are like sweat equity, right? Hustle, effort, those kinds of things. And so when you start blitzing, now you put players on islands. And when they did that last year with Steve Wilks, as he was trying to transition them into a little different style of defense, the players didn't like that. They gave up some plays. Shanahan may have overreacted to some of the plays that they gave up because they still ranked as the top 10 defense. And so now here you are. You're playing vanilla ice cream. defense, but you're not the same talent. You know, you don't have the same team that was superior to others. And so you're seeing a different result on the field playoff.
Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, with us on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. We are live in Santa Clara getting ready for football. Thursday night action, Niners and Rams in what is essentially a must-win for the 49ers. Bucky, what's your take? Are the Niners still, are they still alive? Are they still in this thing?
They're still in it, but, man, they've been dealing with so many issues, right? The Super Bowl hangover is real. You have injuries that have impacted who they are on offense and defense. And then you're trying to find their way. They're trying to gain some confidence. That said, they're still a very scary team because Kyle Shanahan is one of the best play callers in the business. They have enough talent where they can win games if that talent takes over. We just haven't seen the talent take over enough. But if Deebo Samuels and George Kittle decide to play and play at a high level, look, they're dangerous in the passing game. If they can run the football with whatever running back is available to them, it's a problem. And then defensively, a lot of it depends on Nick Bosa dominating. If their stars play like stars, they're still very capable of being a team that can be dangerous. Not necessarily Super Bowl dangerous, but dangerous enough to get into the tournament and make people uncomfortable. But they got to take care of business against what I say is a very good Rams team that's trending in the right direction.
And what do you do to make Matthew Stafford uncomfortable? Is it just getting that A-gap pressure? Is it making it so he can't just be on his spot to make him uncomfortable?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. Like, you not only got to make him comfortable, but you got to make sure you cover those two guys on the outside, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. They're dangerous. And when they're playing, this is a really good team. They're interchangeable, so they can move around and do similar things. They create a lot of stress because they're physical. They do a really good job in the run game. And then they're outstanding route runners. This is a tough matchup, you know, but it's one where in this rivalry, typically the team that out-hits the other team wins. So I would expect to see a playoff-like intensity around this game. So look for them to try and knock people around, try and disrupt the rhythm by really being more physical than they've been with other teams.
We got maybe a little rain in the forecast, Bucky. Who has the edge with that?
It probably is even because both teams want to run the football. And if it has to be a game where it turns to the run, both teams can do it. The Rams did it successfully against the Buffalo Bills last week. The Niners, that's their calling card. I think it comes down to quarterback play. And I know, like, there are questions abound about Brock Purdy. Are they going to pay him and what they're going to pay him? This is a perfect showcase game for him. Thursday night, everyone watching, bright lights, big stage. He's going to have to play at a high level. And if he has to do it, he can do whatever, so be it.
What do you make of Brock Purdy this year? Is it a regression, or is it just him playing at a level where he hasn't had as much help around him?
It's a combination, man. There's not a great quarterback that can play without great players around. And I would say we talked about it in January, I think, when I kind of made some headlines about the route runners and the playmakers and that stuff. Brandon Ayuk is unavailable the whole year, so you lose him. Ricky Pearsall has been in and out. Deebo Samuel hasn't been the same with injuries and those things. And so the pieces around him have not been as consistent, and that impacts the way that he's played. Like, I think he's the same player. And what the Niners have to figure out is, what do you want to pay someone that's at his talent level? They're different degrees in terms of pedigree, you know, the talent and those things. But he's a really good player. He hasn't played as well as he's played in the past, but look, he's still solid for the Niners.
Okay, Bucky, you brought up Debo's name, and you have been outspoken on those wide receivers in the past, and he's having a weird year, and he's frustrated, and he's tweeting about it, and he's had an incident with the long snapper. What's your take on Debo's year? Is this circumstantial, or is he losing a step?
I definitely don't duck the smoke, but like, he is what he is. He's a playmaker, not a route runner. And so it has to be a concerted effort to make sure that he touches the ball. Now that Christian McCaffrey's out, he needs to touch it more. Why not reprise the role that he did a few years ago? Oh, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like when he has to run the ball like that anymore. So he doesn't want to do some of those things that really made him very successful and very popular in the NFL crowd. So what he has to figure out is, what is he willing to sacrifice? What is he willing to do? And Shanahan has to figure out a way to get him in the game plan early. Debo's no different than most of the wideouts in the league. They have to feel like they're involved early to be able to give you that playmaking ability late. And so you just got to make an effort to get him the ball early so he can feel good and into the game, and then he'll give you the best of the end.
Is man coverage the kryptonite for the Shanahan offense?
Yeah. If you don't have the right personnel on the outside to handle it. Because all the condensed formations, the motions, the stacks, the bunches, all the eye candy, yeah, like man coverage kind of simplifies everything for the defense, but you got to be good enough to cover them. Now teams have figured out that they have an issue against man-to-man, and they're seeing more of it. I told you, like, when the blueprint is out there, it's up to the team, the Niners, to solve that, to answer that. And they have to answer it by being able to attack man coverage. And this year continues the theme, but they haven't been able to consistently do it. And so and some of that is a work in progress. But, yeah, they can continue to see man-to-man until they show that they can consistently knock it out.
Bucky Brooks, NFL Network. What's your take on Pearsall?
Look, man, it's unfortunate what happened to him. And you swear it, but like he's a good player. He will be a good player, but there's so many things that were working against him that it's hard to get the rookie contributions. He needs to give them more, but, I mean, like he had to deal with so much early that it's hard to count on him. Hopefully he can be an X factor in their run. They need him to play. They need him to make plays because they needed another route runner and playmaker that could help them in the passing game. So hopefully he can give them something.
When you look at the Shanahan offense, as everyone likes to refer to it, and McVay runs it, and LaFleur in Green Bay, and it seems like more than half the league is now running it, has it become so commonplace that defenses now have a greater ability to stop it?
Well, the more you see things, the more you get used to it. But all of those guys run different variations, right? So Sean McVay has gone away from more of the outside zone to then doing a more gap scheme where you're seeing the guards and tackles pull. Matt LaFleur runs a different version of it with the running game and those things. So there's some similarities from a philosophical standpoint. They want to run the football. They want to give you a lot of pre-snap motion to get your eyes in the backfield and out of the right place. But, yeah, more people are seeing it, and so you always have to stay one step ahead of the curve. But I still say this. If you ask defense coordinators, they still would say that Kyle Shanahan is one of the more difficult offensive play callers to deal with because he can give you so much, and the personnel matches the scheme. And that's the big thing. The Niners have been successful because the interchangeable parts that they had on offense allowed him to be very creative and imaginative when it came to his exotic stuff.
Do you see someone as having an edge when McVay and Shanahan go up against one another?
No, I think it's even Stephen for a while there. It seemed like Shanahan had the upper hand. You know, it always kind of felt like he treated Sean McVay like the little brother. But little brother struck back. You know, little brother has a team that is coming. They're young. They're not quite where they want to be. But with that quarterback, Matthew Stafford, and those two wide receivers, they're dangerous. And the underrated part of what Sean McVay does is the stubborn commitment to the running game. He'll run it at you over and over and over again. He's okay with 3 and 4 yard gains. And that running game sets up the big plays and the play action game and those things. So, this is a really good matchup, man. It's really compelling. Look, it's kind of like playing video games with your brother. You love your brother, but there is nothing better than to beat your brother. It's nothing better than to walk around the house knowing that you dominate little brother or whatever. So that's what this matchup is, and that's what it'd be tonight.
Yeah, it took me 30-some-odd years, but I finally caught my older brother, and there's been no looking back ever since, Bucky. And no sweeter nectar than taking down that older brother if you have one.
True. I'm an older brother, though, so I've always been the one on top. But I get what you're saying.
I'm sure your record is near unbeaten, and that's how it is with you older brothers. Hey, Mark and I have had this discussion about special teams all year because the Niners have been terrible at special teams. When you look at a team that struggles with that third phase of the game, where do you assign the blame generally?
There's a few different things. A lot of it is personnel-driven, right? So the guys that play on special teams are your backups or your key contributors on offense and defense. How much experience do they have with special teams? If you have a lot of young players coming straight from the college game, they've never done it. So you ask them to do something new, and it's kind of like learning on the fly. If you have a lot of injuries, you have backup players, so it might be their first time really playing prominent roles in the kicking game, and there's some uncertainty, and there's going to be some bust and those things. And then it has to be prioritized. It has to be talked about. It has to be emphasized. You have to convey the message as the head coach that this is just as important as offense and defense to get people to buy in. It's hard sometimes to get people to buy into the kicking game because there's not that immediate glory that comes along with making plays on offense or defense.
Bucky, you said earlier that the Niners still, if they take care of business, they still can be a threat to get into the tournament and maybe make noise, but then you were like, nah, but not Super Bowl stuff. So if I say Lions, Eagles, Packers, Vikings, is that it? Did I just say the NFC winner, or do you see anyone else in this conference as having a chance?
Nah, that's it. I think it comes out of those guys. And I think the NFC North is loaded. They cannibalize each other. I would say the Lions, if they get home field, they can be tough. But the injuries have caught up, and they have more injuries than anybody else when it comes to their frontline players. The Philadelphia Eagles are the best and the most complete team, but they're fighting. They got their wide receivers fighting because they can't run the football, and they're not throwing it enough. So those are the two teams. And then I'll keep an eye on Minnesota. The X factor, though, is Sam Darnold. And did y'all know the best quarterback out the building? Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Wow, he's playing great.
Easy.
In Minnesota. I'm warning y'all. Did y'all know the best quarterback?
You do want that smoke, don't you, Bucky?
Take it easy, yeah. Bucky. Take it easy.
I just saw the guy throw for 5 touchdowns the other day. I don't know. My bad. I just play guys who throw touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, geez, you hate to see that, Sam Darnold out of the building. Hey, when you look at the NFC West, if you were to make a call right now on who wins the division before tonight's game, obviously, do you still think that it's Seattle's to lose?
Just because of the way the schedule breaks out. Like, the Niners have a tough schedule. I think they have another tough game on the docket.
They got Detroit.
They got Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit, but Seattle plays Green Bay and Minnesota the next 2 weeks.
Cool.
Yeah.
I still would say Seattle. I would say Seattle because right now their defense is playing well. And, like, Geno Smith is a bit of a wild card, but that three wide receiver thing they have in the running game is pretty dangerous. But look, it's a toss up. But I would say in the driver's seat will be the Seattle Seahawks.
Dibs, I don't know if you know why it is that Bucky Brooks is feeling himself today. Do you know where Bucky Brooks went to college?
I have no idea.
That man right there is a North Carolina Tar Heel.
Oh, wow.
Bucky, what is the Belichick? Are you kidding me?
What? What are you talking about? What do you mean? You want to come to a great program. He wants great things. The framework is all there. Like, I am excited about it. I'm excited about the opportunity. They have, like, a really good coach, like, who wants to develop players as the landscape is changing, where college is looking more like the pros. Why not get the greatest coach in pros to come and kind of lead their transition?
Yep.
I like
Who doesn't want to run a football program at a basketball school? Exactly.
I mean, like that. And maybe we're doing a little bonus, get a little his girlfriend in the grad school. I don't know. Like, that was fun.
That's what I'm talking about.
Undefeated. Men can't talk about Belichick without the girlfriend coming up right now. It's just impossible. It's totally impossible.
I mean, it's such a random thing. And so when people talk about it, he can't relate. That's all he had to do. He didn't even have to tell the board of trustees anything. He's like, have you seen what I'm doing? Like, I'm living the life.
I was telling my partner that just in case he needed a round two, it's a fertile ground if he goes back to North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina. No, but I think it's great. I think people make a lot of, like, the age difference and can he deal and relate with college kids. I would just say this. The disciples from his program, like, Nick Saban has had a lot of success at a collegiate level. You look at what Bill O'Brien was doing up in Boston College. They were having success right away. I just think that blueprint works. And as much as we talk about, like, college players and new generation and what they don't like, all good players want to be coached. And so he may not be right for everybody, but the guys that want to go to the next level, the guys that want to learn how to play the right way, he's going to be attractive and appealing to them and to their parents who also want that from their kids.
Bucky, great to have you, man. I don't know if I'm putting thoughts in your head here, but just listening to you talk, it sounds like you have a slight lean toward the Rams tonight.
No. I mean, like, I don't have a dog in the fight. I would say this. The Niners are desperate, and desperate teams are dangerous. And when you have Trey Greenlaw coming back, an emotional leader, because, like, he could have tipped the scales of balance in the Super Bowl if he plays and finishes that game. Look, that's a big emotional lift. He makes some plays early, a splash play to get that defense going. Look out. So, no, I'm not leaning towards the Rams. I'd actually favor the home team in this. They got to play, though, because it's now or never for the Niners.
Yep. I think that's a fair take. Hey, Bucky, thank you for jumping in, man. We love having you.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
There he goes, Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, former North Carolina Tar Heel, DB in the league for about 6 years. Interesting breakdown of this football game, and it's kind of, not that I wasn't already excited about it, but McVay and Shanahan with a lot more of their toys available than they had last time, it is set up for a hell of a fight tonight.
Yeah, and we always talk about the analytics and the numbers and this and that, and I'm just looking at video of Dre Greenlaw on the field, pregame warm-ups, getting loose, and just the emotional lift and the desperation that the Niners are feeling, and having Dre Greenlaw back, all those things have got to help tonight in their cause.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you talked yesterday in that fun conversation we were having about the NBA Cup with regard to what that could do for the Warriors emotionally rather than in the standings, seeing as if you do get to the finals, it doesn't count for the standings. So there's that side of it. I think this is maybe an even better example as to where I don't see how this doesn't give the entire stadium tonight a hell of a lift. Thursday night football, it's going to be, you would figure, defensive kind of tone because of the weather, a desperate game. To have Dre Greenlaw come back is just a hell of a juice boost that's going to be in the whole building tonight.
And this guy, too, old number 97's out there, too, getting
Nick's
loose.
Back.
And so Nick's out there getting loose. You got Greenlaw.
Garendo is in.
Yep. So a lot of emotional lifts, but ultimately the one thing you've got to be able to do is get to Matthew Stafford and make him uncomfortable.
Yep.